Hi, I'm Rob Thomas, and welcome to another edition of Job Hunting and Networking with Thomas Ford Media. Don't forget that we also stream live on Twitch under SpankamusCon, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday, where we talk about all of the things that we're covering in this video series and more. And should you not be able to join us live during the streaming, you can also join our Discord server, and all of that information, of course, is going to be linked down below. So I wanted to talk to you about the actual job market, you know, and some of the options that we might have if we're looking to, you know, move forward from where we're at, or maybe even retool, rethink our career and what some other options might be if, you know, somehow some of the recent market changes might have changed things for us. But like right now is the time. You know, we've all been through one of the most challenging years of our lives in many different ways. And we've had to reinvent ourselves. We've lost careers, had to find or build new careers. We're working on that now, or even like completely change our entire lives. We've seen one of the largest spikes in global unemployment, but certainly here in the U.S. And we're recovering, and we'll work on this together. And I'm hoping some of the things we talk about here will be helpful. And I wanted to talk about some of the data, historical data, and then some of the things that are happening currently to kind of give you an idea of maybe some directions that we might be able to take this. You know, we talk about the education that we have matters, you know, and there's some schools of thought that still say, well, you know, a degree isn't what it used to be. And that's not entirely true. And I'll show you some data to support that. There certainly are some other options, and we'll talk about those. But when I look at data from 2009 here, the largest segment of the labor force that was impacted by unemployment, you can see whether we had a little college, just a high school diploma, or even less than that. And on the other side of that, I also want to point out the earnings being double, triple, quadruple. And again, at the very top, seeing that the top level degrees in education help secure our continuous employment, even in times of market instability. And I also wanted to show that this trend continues. So we go from 2009 to 2013, and you're absolutely seeing some of the same data. Look at the unemployment, where it impacts the market, where it impacts the segment. And again, look at the earning potentials. And then at the very top of this again, looking at where the education makes your job more stable. And this trend continues. This isn't, you know, just historical data. We're looking at like last year. In 2019, we can see even in a good job market with relatively low unemployment, the lower segments of the job market from an education perspective are still the most highly impacted. Again, the top tiers, you know, much lower rates of unemployment, and you can still see the earnings trend double, triple, quadruple, or nearly quadruple. So I just want to make sure that we understand that an education pays. A better education pays more, and a better education is more stable. But I also wanted to understand which jobs actually mattered. So I took a look, and all the other data that you saw, you can find on the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And these things you can also find out on the interwebs, like on payscale.com and other sites. But I wanted to see if I was going to go to school or going to go back to school, what degrees would give me the highest, like mid-career earnings? And somewhere between average, again, this is just data, and about 138 to 182K mid-career. That's pretty good. Obviously, the petroleum industry has always been out there. It's been a great place to be. But let's consider the short-term, mid-term, and long-term possibilities in a career like that. Like, where do you think, might not apply to us, but where do you think the oil industry is going to be in 50 years? You know, or 5, 10, 20? And what is that going to look like, you know, as I select what degree program, if I'm young and I'm going to go out into the workforce, what does that mean for me? You know, and how is that going to be impacted by this next career, where the electrical engineering and computer science industries perhaps are going to be coming to the forefront as we're looking at commitments being made by companies and governments to look at climate change and to look at alternative sources of energy, looking at electric car fleets and the big bets that many of the car manufacturers are putting on fully electric vehicles, and what kind of impact one of these industries is going to have on the other and what that's going to look like going forward. These are fascinating topics for me to think about and discuss. And, you know, how are we going to plan, how are we going to plan around this? Applied economics and management always is going to be there. Understanding how economies on a micro scale, on a macro scale, what's happening with different industries and how they all work together. And then how we're going to manage our business and address what's happening in the market and doing that type of retooling, always a critical skill. Fourth, it came in operations research, how my company is built, how my company runs, how the different divisions interact, what that's going to look like, whether it's floor manufacturing or, you know, workflows with automation and software and everything in between. What, how are we going to implement that? And planning that is a key part of businesses that have to be agile and moving so quickly in the marketplace today. And finally, of course, always we got to count the beans, right? Public accounting is still a huge place where you can earn revenue and kind of look at the theme here: engineering, management, research, science. Think about that. If these are things, mathematics, if these are things that you're good at or you're passionate about or you actually really want to dig in and learn, these are some amazing careers and some of the top paying ones. Now, again, this isn't average. And we're not talking about like the rock stars or the other things that could happen here, but these are some solid degree programs that you can get into if you've got the chops. But I also wanted to look at the other end of the spectrum, because what if you're interested in a labor of love, right? What if you want to follow your heart? And obviously the amount of money that's possible here is going to be different, but there are ways to build businesses even in these areas. And we can talk, you know, you could build a team of people and maybe contract the work out. And there's other things that you can do to leverage that earning potential in any industry. And here, of course, metalsmithing, it came in is across like 800 different degree programs. This was one of the ones on this end of the scale. But interestingly enough, what if I'm an amazing artist? What if my metalsmithing ends up turning into something that's even much more lucrative, and I develop a brand, you know, and I develop a reputation in the marketplace, and I become a coveted, you know, product. So think about that, that there's still potential no matter where we go with this. Addiction counseling is something that's near and dear to my heart. I know a lot of people in the recovery community, and many of them find their love and their home and their passion in working and helping others, other addicts. Medical assisting was another one here. But imagine, you know, the time that it takes. You're often the first person that someone's going to talk to. And in my case, you know, I have a lot of interactions with the healthcare industry, and being compassionate and detail oriented and being able to ask really good discovery questions can help set someone up for a successful diagnosis. So it's really good to have a lot of that rounded skill set. And I believe they're kind of undervalued. And also from, you know, the recovery and addiction circles, you know, there's a lot of mental health counseling and other things that individuals and families and children need. Again, another work of love. And a lot of ours, you know, I came up through the foster care system, and there were key people in the mental health and social services, folks that, you know, got some of the other certifications that were there for me and went to bat for me and probably saved my life. And finally, of course, you know, all of us have friends and loved ones and people in our circle that are teachers of children, especially in those early childhood stages. I think, again, an underappreciated field, as many of these are. And think about the folks that you know that are there for the kids. It's their love. It's their life. It's their passion. It's amazing. And I just wanted to kind of demonstrate this spectrum of opportunity. And the earnings, whether or not that matters to you, and, you know, following your heart, whether or not that matters to you, or maybe a combination of those or something in between. But I also wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit about other trades. you know, without any type of degree or maybe a lesser degree or certification program where you can earn anywhere in these fields at the high end between 79 and 124K average. And air traffic controllers certainly came up on this list with some tenure. High stress job might not be something that you want if you're a little bit more gentle-minded, but certainly an amazing, rewarding trade where there's a lot of teamwork and camaraderie. And of course, in the related industry, commercial pilot, but keeping in mind, you know, travel industry being impacted by recent events, but perhaps this will change going forward. And we'll absolutely have to retool the way we travel going forward to protect ourselves from events and things and pandemics like happened recently. So I'm actually kind of fascinated to see the type of tweaks and changes we're going to make in the travel industry going forward. Construction management is one that's always been fascinating to me. I've been involved in large construction projects, like from a technical perspective, and working with all of the bidders and the contractors and managing all the supplies and the deliveries and all of that huge person pool and logistics of all those supplies is a Herculean task. And if you are good at whether it's residential project management or commercial projects, if you're good at that, you're almost guaranteed a very lucrative career. Down market, up market, doesn't matter. There's rehabs, there's new rebuilds, you know, there's retooling and remarketing of property all the time. So definitely an amazing trade to get into. And I was interested, like this popped up as a interested type of job trade, like working as a radiation therapist in, you know, that kind of speciality, like even in a pandemic or COVID kind of job market where maybe elective surgeries and things have been taken off the table, but other required treatments and training or needs for like radiation therapists is always going to be there and a really good career track to possibly pursue. And of course, real estate brokers always been there. We know that, whether again, residential and commercial. And I actually know and have friends that are commercial pilots and they've got a flexible schedule and they've got days on and days off. And on their off days, they might even have a second job where they work as real estate brokers and develop multiple streams of income. So there's a lot of different interesting things here. And this was just a few at the top. There's many others that, again, these are averages. There's others, if you're a rock star, you can excel in. And this is just a sample. But other things I want to talk about with trades, you know, and I came up through trade school as a kid. Like in high school, I went to agricultural mechanics and I was ripping apart engines and putting them back together. I was in welding school, horticulture and other ag classes and animal husbandry. And also learning about butchering and storing meat, all different types of things. And to include other things like doing and knowing carpentry and doing basic electrical work on the farm, and sometimes even having to do like emergency plumbing repair, and thinking about all of these trades and being, and I served as an apprentice plumber, but imagine working through that and becoming a journeyman and becoming a master and possibly being in a union. And these end up being very lucrative six-digit salaries in those industries as well. So the trades are alive and well in any of these other trades that we've talked about. And there are thousands of possibilities, whether you're looking at degree programs or whether you're looking at other trades. If you're looking to have a job and build a career, there's always a way that you can retool yourself or even look to maybe advance yourself in your career that you have now. I've also chosen, so I'm on two tracks. You know, I have my career track, which is going very well. I'm very happy with that. But I also want to have some financial freedom and independence. And I want to be able to set my own bar and my own goal. And mine is pretty aggressive. So I've decided, you know, to do this and other things and start up other passive revenue streams and build my own business. But the thing that happens with most startups is that within the first year, at least 21% of them fail. And I'm actually getting close to my first year and I'm still here. I'm lucky. So within the second year, though, out of that pool of survivors from the first year, an additional 30% usually fail. And finally, within 5 years, 50% of those businesses have failed. So overall, within the first few years of startup companies trying to get out there and swing, at least 90% of them fail. So this is not for the meek, and it's not, sorry, but it's not for the lazy. You got to be out here. You've got to hustle. But a lot of the reasons these businesses fail is because of lack of money, whether or not they had the capitalization going in or whether or not they were able to generate the revenue to sustain themselves. Many businesses fail for that. A lot of businesses fail because of the market. Maybe the market dried up. Maybe they went into the wrong market. Maybe they didn't understand the market. Maybe they had no chance of ever competing because they didn't do the next thing, which is research and understand going out into the market. You know, is there even a possibility that you're going to succeed? And what's interesting is that I know walking into this particular business and trying to be a streamer and trying to create YouTube content and et cetera, that there's a very small percentage of people that ever become greatly successful with this. I think I'm up to the challenge and I'm going to continue to pursue this. Also, one of the reasons that these startups fails is because of selecting bad partners. We're not partnering well. And I've made that mistake, and I had an amazing business earlier in my life fail. But hopefully we learn from those failures. And I know that I'm going to run my businesses myself going forward. Another reason why a lot of these startups fail is because of a bad marketing, a lack of marketing, not marketing to the right market segment, not understanding how marketing works. And finally, maybe entering to a business model where they don't have the expertise. Maybe they had no business ever trying a startup. Maybe they weren't good with doing any of this researching or planning and not knowing how to continue to retool, you know, their business and continue to move their business forward. So it's going to be a challenge, you know, for any of us that want to do a startup. But part of this journey that I'm on, and one of my goals is to continue to share with you updates about what I'm doing well, what I'm not doing so well, and kind of modeling some of that after some of the people that I'm following. You know, I'm building my business model, and I'm following Harris Heller. Look him up, YouTube him, you'll love it. And I'm also an avid listener and reader of things and books and blogs and podcasts of Tim Ferriss, another huge fan. I'm a fan of his, and I consider both of these folks to be a few of many of my mentors. And so I'm asking you, like, who's your tribe and who's in your circle and who are you looking forward to that's maybe already done the thing that you want to do? Are you paying attention? Are you in school? Are you doing the research? And are you continuing to retool your path and your journey to follow them to be successful? So we want to make sure that we're surrounded by people that are like-minded in business, at our job. We've got a mentor. And or if we're building something entrepreneurial or startup, that we also surround ourselves with people like that. We help each other, we mentor each other, and we kind of build off of each other's energy. And there's almost like this popcorn effect where everybody gets excited and everyone is helping each other, and we're not competitors. So go out there, find and build your tribe. And we'll talk more about how to do that. Don't forget that we talk about these things live Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday on my Twitch stream under Spankamist Khan. That information is down below in the links. And also, we have a Discord server where we can converse and post questions 24/7. Again, that's down below. Thank you for joining me today, and happy business, happy career, and happy streaming.